Hello, I'm Joe Ford, and I want us to talk about the Christian certainty of salvation. Open your Bibles to John the 10th chapter, verses 22 through 30. John the 10th chapter, verses 22 through 30. As you're finding that in your Bible, there's been an interesting piece of information that's been passed on to me that I want to share with you. It's been discovered that approximately 80 to 90% of those people who serve as counselors during the Billy Graham Crusade, during the time of commitment, that on a survey or on some kind of information sheet, it was discovered that about 80 to 90% of these people at one time or another had doubts about their salvation. If these kind of people who are really effective in the service of the kingdom of God are doubting their salvation, it's probably a pretty safe thing to say that there are a number of people in our local churches, there are a number of young people today especially, that are doubting whether they have the real certainty of heaven and of Jesus Christ living in their hearts. Maybe some of you right now have some real doubts about whether heaven is going to be your home. You're really not sure whether Jesus Christ lives in your heart or not. Well, I want us to read in this passage of Scripture and study together and learn how we can know that there's a certainty for the Christian. You can know that you belong to Jesus Christ. Beginning with the 10th chapter, the 22nd verse, you follow as I read along in the King James Version. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long do you make us to doubt? If you be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you and you didn't believe me. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You know, there's a lot of reasons why a person may doubt his salvation. There's a lot of reasons why people don't have any certainty that Jesus lives in their heart. And I want us to talk about several of those reasons, maybe one that you have or someone that you've come in contact with occasionally has. I think the first reason why people lack certainty in their lives about salvation could be the fact that they're not really Christians at all. In fact, that's probably the number one problem. There are a lot of people that are church members, maybe have been baptized, and have gone through all kinds of ritual and creed and form, but as far as really having a personal experience with Jesus Christ, they've never had one. And the reason they're lacking any kind of certainty is because they have nothing to be certain in. They do not know Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. And that's where the certainty must begin, inviting Jesus Christ into your heart, making Him Lord of your life. Another reason why people doubt is because salvation is intangible in some ways. You see, salvation is something that is spiritual. It's not physical. It's not temporal. Now, I know it affects the physical world. I know it affects your emotions. I know it affects everything that you say and do. But basically, salvation is something spiritual. It's not something like a baseball glove or a pen or a Bible that you can hold in your hand. It's something that can't be held in a hand. And because everything in our world is geared to our physical senses for the most part, and because we grow up only learning how to respond in a physical way to most things around us, it's a little bit difficult many times to get a hold of something that's spiritual and realize that it's real, to realize that Jesus Christ is real. And because of that, because salvation is spiritual, many people have a problem having any kind of certainty about their own personal experience. Other people, because they commit so many sins, have a real lack of certainty in their lives. They want victory over a particular area of sin in their life, but nothing seems to come like that for them. They continue to do the same old things over and over again. And when they commit a sin, they think, well, I can't be a Christian because of the things I do. And of course, this is always one of the ways that the devil seems to try to get at the Christian. Now, it's one thing to be out of fellowship with God, but it's another thing to be out of relationship with Him. When you invite Jesus Christ into your heart, He wants to take complete control of your life, but He never said that you would be without sin. We're to strive to be perfect, even as Jesus was perfect, and allow Him to live His perfect life through us, through His Spirit. But that old nature of sin is still with inside each one of you and each one of the people in the world that may invite Jesus into their lives. And because of that, they're always going to have a little bit of a problem with this thing called sin. They're going to commit sins, but we, of course, can go to God with instant confession. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. So just because you may have a problem occasionally about devil saying to you, well, you sinned, you can't be a Christian. Don't let him fool you. There's a difference between being in right fellowship with God and being in a proper relationship with Him. You can know Jesus Christ and still be out of fellowship. It's like being at home with your family. Sometimes you do some things that don't please your parents. But just because you do that, they don't say you're no longer my son or daughter. You may not have good speaking terms with them, but you're still part of the family. And it's just that way with you and God. Other people doubt their salvation because they look for a stereotyped experience. They hear about someone who is a drug addict who is converted, or they hear some evangelist or a pastor or a youth director or some person who has an outstanding and a dramatic testimony, and they say, well, my experience wasn't like that. My experience wasn't like Paul's or Bill's or Mary's. And because our experience wasn't like someone else's exactly, we say, well, I can't be a Christian. I couldn't possibly be saved because what happened to him hasn't happened to me. Not like that. We need to realize, though, that we have a God who deals on an individual basis. He speaks to you and I personally. And because He's made each one of us in a unique way, that unique God speaks to us in a unique way, and each one of us, though conversion is the same, it's turning our lives over to Jesus Christ and turning away from sin by faith, though it's the same conversion, it's going to be a little bit different in every person's life. No two conversion experiences are exactly alike because no two people that are living are exactly alike. Everybody's a little bit different. W.A. Criswell, the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, for years would doubt his salvation because he pastored a people in the hills, I think, of Tennessee or Kentucky, who had wonderful conversion experiences and saw lights and heard things and felt fantastic things happen to them. And he didn't have any of that happen to him. And because he didn't, he began to seriously doubt whether he had really ever been converted or not. But you don't have to worry about something like that. You see, you don't have to worry because every person's experience is different with Jesus Christ. No two are alike. Other people have no certainty in their life concerning salvation because they're always trusting someone else's word about whether heaven's going to be their home. They look for their mother to tell them, or their father, or for the priest, or for somebody else to tell them that Jesus Christ lives in their heart. But the Bible says that that's not the work of mother and dad or the youth director or the pastor, but that's the work of the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8:16, we find the words that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, that we are the sons of God. You see, the Holy Spirit is the one who assures you whether you really belong to Jesus Christ or not. No one else can do that. I can't tell you whether Jesus Christ lives in your heart or not. That's something that the Holy Spirit must reveal to you. I can show you what the Scriptures say, I can talk with you, and I can guide you, but it must be the Holy Spirit who truly tells you that Jesus Christ lives in your heart. Other people doubt their salvation because their lives are strangers to the power of the Holy Spirit. I think one of the best ways to have real assurance and certainty is to yield to the Holy Spirit's fullness every single day. That's the best way, I think, to know continual assurance of salvation. But so many people are like those that Paul encountered from Ephesus, and he spoke to them, and he said, have you received the Holy Spirit? And they said, the Holy Spirit? Who is that? I've never even heard of the Holy Spirit. And many of us, though we are Christians and have received God's Holy Spirit, act and live as if we've never heard of the Holy Spirit, and our lives are strangers to God's miraculous wonder-working power every single day. Another reason people doubt their salvation is because their lives are so ineffective spiritually. Well, our world is geared to success in the terms of numbers and finances and things. But I want you to examine the Bible and find out there that it's not always that way. God measures things different from the way men do. Many times we think because we're not seeing great numbers come to know Jesus Christ because of us, we're ineffective spiritually. But I want you to study the life of Noah. Here's a man who preached for 120 years, but he didn't have very many converts. Read the life of Jeremiah. Even as you study the life of Jesus, you'll find that not everyone he talked to said yes to him. Just because not everyone you present the gospel to says, yes, I want Jesus Christ into my life, that doesn't mean that your life is ineffective spiritually. There's a difference between bearing fruit and being a son in the kingdom of God. Other people cause doubt about salvation because there's so many spiritual pulse takers going around in the world today. These spiritual pulse takers go around trusting their feelings to determine whether Jesus lives in their heart or not. You know, but you can't go by your feelings alone. The Bible says the just shall live by feeling. No, it says the just shall live by faith every single day. And it's that faith walk that gives us the assurance that we belong to Jesus Christ. After I was married, right after the ceremony, if someone would have come up to me and said, Joe, how do you feel? I'd have said, shocked. Because I really did feel a little bit shocked. But if they'd have said, man, you don't feel like a husband, I'd have said, no, not really, I don't feel like a husband. But man, I was a husband. There wasn't anything I could do about that. Legally, we had been united together, and we believed, of course, by God and heaven too, into a union of holy matrimony. Well, just like that, sometimes you don't have the feelings that you belong to God. But you can't trust your feelings because the Christian life is a faith life, and your feelings may fool you. But let me share with this with you. If you never have the feelings, there's something wrong with your relationship with God. And I say that on the basis of the fact that when Jesus Christ saves you, He saves all of you, and that includes your emotions. And that means sooner or later, your emotions are going to bear witness that also you belong to God, and you're going to feel saved as well as by faith know that you are. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be with you always, every day of your life. But somewhere along the way, you're going to have the feeling that you belong to God. Other people say, well, I think that there's no way you can know that you're a Christian. They presume on a false modesty when they say you cannot know that Jesus Christ lives in your heart. Well, I want you to know, young people, that you can know that Jesus Christ lives in your heart. You can know today. You can know while you're listening to this tape before we ever leave. Or wherever you are right now, you ever leave this place, that Jesus Christ is real and He lives in your heart. In fact, the Bible says in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. God's Word says you can know whether you belong to Jesus Christ or not. Maybe these are some of the doubts you've had in the past, or having now, or some friend you know has. But as you look at these things and you have these kind of doubts, or you know someone who has these kind of doubts with their relationship with God, these doubts are going to produce certain results in your life. They're going to produce in your life a prayer life that doesn't have any power. How in the world are you going to pray to a God when you're not so sure He can ever hear your prayers? How are you going to have a powerful, warm relationship to someone who claims your best friend, but you don't even know if he's your friend at all? How are you going to claim to have a conversation of love with your Heavenly Father when you're not sure He's your Heavenly Father because you don't know His Son, Jesus Christ? You see, when you're not sure that Jesus Christ lives in your heart, it affects your whole spiritual life, and your prayer life becomes almost ineffective, if not completely so. Also, your service becomes ineffective. If Satan can keep you doubting whether Jesus Christ lives in your heart or not, he can keep you from being useful in the kingdom of God like he wants you to be. He can keep you from being really a help to other people. How are you going to tell someone that Jesus Christ is real when he's not real to you? How are you going to tell someone Jesus Christ gives meaning and purpose to life when he hasn't given you that meaning and purpose? How are you going to say that Jesus gives peace beyond all understanding when you're worrying and fretting every night because you're not certain that Jesus Christ lives in your heart? It produces ineffective service on the part of the Christian because he has no assurance and he has no boldness. Also, it'll produce psychological problems in your life. I think Jesus was psychologically healthy. One of the grave problems of our day, and it's also a grave problem among young people, is their psychological instability. There are a lot of young people that don't have any stability at all. They don't have any assurance. They're fretting, thrown about by every doctrine and by every wind that comes along. There's nothing upon which they are firmly grounded every single day. In fact, our hospitals and our mental wards are filled to overflow with people that don't have any stability mentally. And one of the great reasons, as they don't, is because they can't settle this thing about their relationship with God. Young people, you can settle these kind of things and you can have stability in your life because you know in whom you have believed. Well, let's talk a little bit about the certainty that we have over this doubt. We've talked about the problems and the results. Let's look and see what the real certainty over doubt is. If we look again and examine this 10th chapter of the book of John, we didn't read verse 11, but verse 11 tells us where the real certainty over doubt comes in. I want to read it to you. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. You see, the whole certainty of doubt lies in Jesus Christ himself. The certainty that you have, that you belong to God, is in Jesus Christ. You see, it depends on His sacrifice whether you have eternal life or not. And He was a sufficient sacrifice. There needed to be no other. And there's no reason to doubt because salvation's not new, it's not in a program, it's not in a membership, it's in Jesus Christ Himself. And you can rest assured that it's in Him. It's in Jesus' knowledge. Verse 27 tells us that my sheep hear my voice. You know, Jesus Christ knows if you belong to Him or not, and He's not ever going to forget. But some of the saddest words in all the Bible are found in Matthew, the 7th chapter, the 21st verse, is where I'm going to begin to read, and you listen. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in the last day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Wouldn't it be a horrible thing if Jesus forgot when he came to live in your heart? Wouldn't it be a terrible thing if when you met him there and he was saying, why do you deserve entrance into my heaven? And Jesus was standing there as God was questioning you and you'd say, because I turned my life over to Jesus Christ and he forgave me of my sins. And Jesus said, well, I can't quite remember when that happened or I can't quite remember ever anything like that going on. And I must have forgot somewhere there were so many and it's just so hard for me to remember. Wouldn't that be terrible? But God never forgets, and Jesus never forgets. It's in His knowledge. Your salvation is. And if you've come to Him, He'll never forget. Just as Jesus knew that a woman had touched Him on the very tassel of His garment in the midst of His great crowd, He knows that moment when you reached out to Him and He reached out to you and salvation came to your house. You can also know that Jesus lives in your life by the fact that you follow His commandments. 1 John 2:3 tells us this is one of the proofs that we belong to Jesus Christ. Listen to this word. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. If you're not obedient to God, you're going to have doubts about whether you belong to Jesus Christ or not. If you're not doing His will in your life, if you're thwarting His purposes, if you refuse to let Him have His way, you're going to have doubts somewhere along the way whether you belong to Him because you're not being obedient, and being obedient is one of the things that brings assurance to salvation. One of the other reasons that we can know, though, that we have certainty, is the fact that the gift of eternal life comes from Jesus, and it is a gift. Verse 28 tells us, "And I give unto them eternal life." You see, Jesus gives the gift of eternal life. It's not something you earn. Everything in our world is oriented into you doing for yourself and making for yourself, and you get what you earn. But here's God saying a great irony, for a great paradox to all the world. Here's something that man needs more than anything else in the world, salvation, forgiveness of sin, and he can't earn this in any way. It's a gift that I must give to him. A gift of a loving God. And this verb in here indicates that this gift of eternal life is in the present tense. That means Jesus gives eternal life now. He gives it today. He doesn't wait till later on. He doesn't wait till you prove yourself because He knows that you never could. And so He gives the gift of eternal life and He gives it now and He gives it forevermore. When He gives that gift, He never takes it away. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have temporary life." Is that what it says? No! It says have everlasting life. And if God could have given it and taken away, how could it have ever been everlasting life? That would have made it temporary. And if God would have wanted us to have temporary life, He'd have put temporary right there. But He gives that everlasting life now, and it lasts forevermore. And this is a wonderful gift from God. You see, we can know that this is true because Jesus promised this gift. He said, "I give this gift." Can God lie? Well, I tell you something. If God could lie about this, He could have lied about anything. But he didn't lie here, and he didn't lie anywhere in his word. God has bound himself by the oath of his own word, and he'll never go back on his word, because Jesus has promised that he gives unto us eternal life. And we don't have to worry about someone taking that life away from us, because Jesus' strength sustains us now and forevermore. He says, nothing can snatch you out of my hand. There's no person, there's no man, there's not anything. The job of the good shepherd is to protect the sheep from the wolves, just as the job of Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, is to protect us through his strength and power. You know, when I ride in an airplane, I don't hang on inside the airplane so I won't fall out of the sky. I simply sit in my seat in the airplane because I know it wouldn't do any good to hang on. Yet many of us are trying to prove to God that we love him. We're trying to prove to God that we need to get into heaven. And we try by works to earn salvation even after we're converted. Well, you couldn't earn salvation, and you can't earn the life that Christ wants to live through you. He does it as you turn your life over to him. You must rest in him every single day and in his strength. But here's a great, great promise that we have. We know that we have the certainty over the doubt because Jesus and the Father are one. You know, the only real proof that I have that I'm my Father's child is not a birth certificate. It's my Father's word. And I believe his word. He could have lied to me, but I don't believe he did. I don't believe he'd have put up with me like he's done all these years if I hadn't been his son. That's the only real proof that we belong to Jesus Christ, is the fact that we have his word, that we're his children when we turn from our sin and put our all on the line for him and by faith invite Jesus Christ to live in our hearts. You see, when I'm my Father's son, and because I am my Father's son, he's going to produce certain characteristics in my life. We call it heredity. We call that each one of us maybe have a wart like mother or dad, or have an ear that's crooked in the wrong way, or our fingers or our feet or our nose or eyes look like mom's or dad's. And because of that, people say, well, there's no doubt whose child you are. Well, in the same way, when we're God's child, when Jesus lives in our heart, he's going to produce in us his characteristics. And we're going to take on the likeness of Jesus himself. And we're going to have the spiritual eyes, and we're going to have the spiritual discernment that he wants us to have in the world today. Well, you know, just as there's results produced from doubting your salvation, there are wonderful results produced by knowing that Jesus lives in your heart. When you have the certainty that Jesus is in your heart, it's going to produce in your life a humble praise for God. It's going to produce in your life a hate for sin and the things that are against God. It's going to produce in your life a life of thanksgiving and praise. Not going around bragging, saying, look what I've accomplished and look what I've done and look who I am. But it's going to be, look who God is and look what he's done for me in the love of his Son. Jesus is going to produce in us the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians the 6th chapter, we have the word of what the fruit of the Spirit is. Galatians the 5th chapter, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You know, really, these characteristics that are the fruit of the Spirit are a perfect description of Jesus himself. And we're going to have those characteristics in our life if we belong to Jesus Christ. Let me ask you something. Do you have those characteristics in your life? Is God producing his life through you every single day? And then finally, we're going to have love. A love that the world doesn't know anything about. A love not just for our neighbor, but a love for those that belong to Jesus Christ too. The Bible tells us in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, the 14th verse, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. One of the wonderful results of knowing that Jesus lives in your heart is the fact that he's going to give you a great love for those that belong to Jesus. You know, God just is able to make it a celebration every time you come in contact with a Christian friend because he puts such love in your heart for them. Let me ask you something right now, young people. Anyone who's listening to this tape, do you know this very moment that if you were to die, you would spend eternity with Jesus? No, not maybe you know or hope so, Christian, but do you know that Jesus Christ lives his life through your life? Listen to me, mortal pieces of finite flesh, you can know. You can turn from your sin and from yourself and from your rebellion to Jesus right now. And you can know that Jesus Christ is alive and that He's living in your heart and that heaven is going to be your home. Right now, why don't you bow your heads, each one of you? And if you've never turned your heart and your life over to Jesus Christ, as I lead in this prayer, I want you to turn your life over to Jesus, realizing it's not the words of the prayer that are important, but the fact that you're turning your life over to Jesus. As I pray out loud, you pray silently in your heart right where you are. Dear Jesus, I know I need You. I know I'm living a life that's selfish. I'm living a life of rebellion against You. Lord, forgive me of all of my sins. Right now, Jesus, I invite and receive You into my heart. I want You to honor Yourself through me. Thank You, Jesus, for giving me real life. You prayed that prayer right then. Share it with a friend. Share it publicly in a church with a pastor and with a congregation. Because Jesus Christ is bound by His own word when He said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That was the words that Jesus inspired one of His great messengers to proclaim one day, and it's true for you. God bless you because you have the certainty that Jesus Christ lives in your heart. And if you don't have that certainty, claim it now in Him because Jesus Christ is able to give you the certainty that you are His. God bless you.